Shishi Dhanata Vijay Guranga Ki Jai. Gaur Prema. All glories to the Samadhi. All glories to Shigri and Shri Gauranga. Anyway, I thought we could continue a little further in our previous meetings. Everyone here speaks English, or at least the English speakers certainly outnumber the non-English speakers. And yesterday we had a wonderful theatre festival, 24th festival, and I don't know in terms of numbers or what was the most attended, seemed like it. Very good preaching opportunities. Although I think the kirtan or the procession was a bit chaotic in its well, procession is much more difficult to organize than the static. It's always moving. Then the static festival site where everyone's really sort of in control of their own project or their own tent. So anyway, next year we should just work on that, how to actually keep things moving, that everyone's together, and also that the kirtan is about chanting for the people, not kirtaniyas having a good time. Mm-hmm. This is a different type of kirtan. But it was very, very, very good, very successful. And let me just read to you. I keep looking at this because it's a little confused. But here's Lord Jagannath's, excuse me, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's attendance of Rath Yatra. I'm trying to see things closely. And as Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami wasn't really there to personally witness firsthand either Rath Yatra or any of Lord Chaitanya's actual pastimes, but he had very good information, and that was from Raghunath Das Goswami, who was there, and as I mentioned, he was also his next door neighbor at Radhakund. And of course, Raghunath Das Goswami spent 3 hours a day just talking about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That was his daily sadhana. So, how did Lord Chaitanya arrange Rath Yatra? Well, first he organized the Sankirtan parties, which is quite telling. And he made seven groups of Sankirtan, because there was no loudspeakers at that time, so he had to have different groups of devotees. And in there he had singers, dancers, kartal players, mridanga players. Yeah, it would be actually really good if we had even had devotees who knew how to play instruments. That would really add to the kirtan. And then the ones who do, that they just stick to it, although it's a little taxing, doing that for 2 hours non-stop, or 3 hours. What time did we have? 3 hours. 3 hours. And that Sankirtan was very loud. And yesterday's kirtan was very, it was audible everywhere except in the kirtan. But when you moved outside the kirtan, then the sound was really good. But in the kirtan, you couldn't really quite, didn't really know what was happening. So that would be good for something for next year, some kind of monitor system, so everyone actually was able to hear themselves. And yeah, there has to be someone a little more assertive as to who can play in, or who can bang on instruments and who can play on instruments. So the bangers should be sent to some other kirtan, maybe in the back, let them go there and bang away. But just everyone shows up with an instrument, it's very, at least it's not what Lord Chaitanya did. And here it reads, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then wandered, Shatatani Bhule Prabhu Hari Hari Boli, Jaya Jagannatha Balena Hasta Yugatuli. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wandered through all seven groups, chanting the holy name Hari Hari, raising his arms. He shouted all glories to Lord Jagannath. Jaya Jagannath. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then exhibited another mystic power by performing pastimes simultaneously in all seven groups. So we had two groups. I didn't see the group, Agar group in the back. But there was another group behind. That was good. And then there was the group in the front. And like I said, the sound system was great. I mean, from as soon as you moved away from the kirtan, you could really hear it everywhere. Everyone said, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is present in my group. Indeed, he does not go anywhere. He's bestowing his mercy upon us. Actually, no one could see the inconceivable potency of the Lord. Only the most confidential devotees, those in pure, unalloyed devotional service, could understand. So it's an interesting phenomenon that there are different grades of devotees. Devotee is a generic term, like people. So there are lots of people in the world, but there are different types of people. People are of different skin, color, different nationality, different intelligence, different abilities. So when you start to categorize them a little more, then it becomes more specific. Similarly, when we talk about Vaishnavas, then there are different types of Vaishnavas. There are, in the general category, there are beginner Vaishnavas, Kanishthas, there are Madhyam Vaishnavas, there are Uttam Vaishnavas. And here it's described that those devotees who were actually just absorbed in pure, unalloyed devotional service, they could actually see that Lord Chaitanya was in all seven groups at the same time. Kirtan deki jagannatha harashita sankirtana deki rata kariya stagita. Lord Jagannath was very much pleased by the Sankirtan, and he brought his car to a standstill just to see the performance. So that's the important thing. Is Jagannath pleased by the Sankirtan? And that's what the kirtaniyas have to be aware of. King Prataparudra was also astonished to see the Sankirtan. He became inactive and was converted to ecstatic love of Krishna. When the king informed Kashyamishra of the glories of the Lord, Kashyamishra replied, O king, your fortune has no limits. So that means Lord King Prataparudra also saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the different groups. And when he sent that to Kashi Mishra, who's actually the guru of the king, then Kashi Mishra said, "Oh, you're very fortunate. You must have received special blessing of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." The king and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya were both aware of the Lord's activities, but no one else could see the tricks of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Only a person who has received the mercy of the Lord can understand. Without the Lord's mercy, even demigods headed by Lord Brahma cannot understand. So that says, Yaritandra Kripa Se Bhajinara Pare Kripa Vine Brahma Thike Jani Bharinari. Then this is a principle of Krishna consciousness. The Bhagavatam state, Prasada Leshan Ugri Tahi Vahi Janati Tattvam Bhagavan Mahimya. So, Atapiti Deva Padam Jandiyam Prasada Leshan Ugri Tahi Vahi. Unless someone has actually got the mercy of Krishna, they cannot understand him. So, but to the degree, mercy is also an issue of degree. That's what Brihad Bhagavatamrita is about, this first part of Brihad Bhagavatamrita. To what degree? The question is, who has the greatest mercy? But we keep going through different people who have different degrees of mercy. So to what degree does someone receive Lord Chaitanya's mercy, Krishna's mercy? To that degree they can understand him. And that's what reading Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam is about. According to a devotee's sincerity and his real surrender and purity, then to that degree Krishna will reveal more and more of himself. And of course there's no limit to Krishna, so there's no limit to Krishna's revelation, and there's no limit to Krishna's mercy. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had been very satisfied to see the king accept the menial task of sweeping the street, and for this humility the king received the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He could therefore observe the mystery of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's activities. So this menial service is a very important thing. That's why when people, devotees, walk in the temple, we give them a broom and say, start cleaning, or wash pots. A menial service is, this word menial is interesting. I'm not even sure I know all of its etymology from English, but it means that someone is willing to do anything, clean the toilets, etc. To start, well, I start just doing something like, of course, we may start doing something like book distribution or some other type of more illustrious service. Let me cook or do deity worship, etc. But no, Krishna wants to see that you're willing to do anything, and things that are very humbling. So menial service means very humble service, and it's not just at the beginning, but it becomes a constant feature of Krishna consciousness. Are you willing to do anything? So Srila Prabhupada was willing to mop the floor. Prabhupada would get off the Vyasasan and mop the floor to teach the devotees how to clean. So, and of course, Srila Prabhupada cooked. Prabhupada cooked for the devotees. He was the cook. There was no one else around. And Prabhupada not only cooked for the devotees, but after the feast, everyone just went home. So Prabhupada washed the pots, and he cleaned up, and he put everything away. So when a devotee is willing to do anything for Krishna, then we can see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just that the king, here's a king, and now the king is sweeping the road. For us it may not seem such a big thing, because we sort of live in a culture that's not so contaminated, even the Western culture, that's not so contaminated by this caste restrictions. But in a very caste-conscious society, even for someone to step on the shadow of a Brahmin, this is a perversion, it's not a reality, is considered to be a real offense. And for a king, who's not just a Kshatriya, but he's also a king, to be doing the business of a sweeper, well, that was why that this king in South India, this was one of the kings of Orissa, Maharaj Purushottam Dev, and he wanted to marry the daughter of another king in South India. And that king said, no, I'm not going to marry my daughter to a street sweeper. So Purushottam Dev became very offended, not because someone called him a street sweeper, but because someone didn't recognize that menial service to Lord Jagannath is the way to attain the mercy of the Lord. So then they declared war, and of course there's a whole story involved in which Jagannath and Balaram, they actually went ahead, and they're the ones who fought the war. Once the king got there, the war was already over, because these two soldiers appeared, and they already defeated the whole army. So although the king had been refused an interview, he was indirectly bestowed causeless mercy. Who can understand the internal potency of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? So sometimes it may appear that Krishna isn't responding. Well, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu refused to talk to the king, but still he bestowed his mercy on him. So devotees should not become despondent when they think that, well, Krishna's not responding to my efforts, because he may not respond in one way, but he may respond in another, and he may wait to see how we react to this in order to give mercy in that. When the two great personalities, Sarvam Bhattacharya and Kashi Mishra, saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's causeless mercy on the king, they were astonished. So even here is Sarvabhauma, who's the prime minister, and Kashi Mishra, who's the guru. They're astonished as to how much mercy Lord Chaitanya gave the king. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed his pastimes for some time in this way. He personally sang and induced his associates to dance. According to his need, the Lord sometimes exhibited one form and sometimes many. This was being executed by his internal potency. Indeed, the personality of Godhead forgot himself in the course of his transcendental pastimes, but his internal potency, Lila Shakti, knowing the intentions of the Lord, made all arrangements. So this is before the carts start to move. This is the build-up to the Rath Yatra. And as the carts are ready to roll, and Jagannath, Balaram, Subhadra, they're all on their carts, and usually they try to make things happen in an auspicious time, but it depends whether the carts, Jagannath wants to move or not. So then, offering obeisances to the Lord with folded hands, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu raised his face towards Lord Jagannath and praised as follows. So just like we did, Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmanna Hitaya Ta Jagat Hitaya Krishnaya Govindaya Govindaya Namo Namaha. And if you want to know where this is from, Prabhupada here says this is from the Vishnu Purana. And then he chanted Jayati Jayati Devaki Nandana, So Jayati Jay Krishna Vishnu Vamsa Pradipa Jayati Jayati Megha Shyamala Kumango Jayati Jayati Pitvibhara Naso Mukunda. And this is a prayer by Maharaj Kurukshetra from the Mukunda Mala Stotra. And then Jayati Jayati Nivaso Jayati Jananivaso Devaki Janmabadu Jadu Bara Parishat Svardor Virasara Dharman Stira Chara Vrijinagna Shushmita Shumukena Vajapurvanitanam Vardanam Kaldeyam. And that's from the Bhagavatam. It's towards the end of first and 90th chapter. Who knows that verse? Okay. And it's a question of what do you say when you wake up in the morning, because that's what everyone's supposed to say as soon as they wake up. Isn't it in the handbook? Hungarian handbook's not there. But one rises, offers prayers, obeisances to spiritual master and to Krishna. And this is the prayer we say when we get up. And it's also a very important prayer. It's one of the concluding prayers of the 10th canto. And then, Naham Vipona Charapatina Bivaishona Shudra Naham Vanigarapatina Nivasto Vativa. Kintu Projan Nikala Paramamnita Deir Gopi Bhakta Padakamani Udas Dasham Dasham. And that's from Padyavali. I don't know whether it's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who composed this, and it's just cited there. I think so. Who knows that verse? Okay, well, a few more, but some of you should get into Krishna consciousness and start applying our energies to learning these very important verses. Then he says, I'm not a Brahmin, I'm not a Kshatriya, I'm not a Vaishya, I'm not a Shudra, I'm not a Brahmachari householder, Vanaprastha or Sannyasi. I identify myself only as the servant of the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna, the maintainer of gopis, who is like an ocean of nectar and the cause of universal transcendental bliss. He's always existing with brilliance. So after having recited all these verses from scripture, the Lord again offered his obeisances, and all the devotees with folded hands offered prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is the sadachara. This is the things that devotees should do before the Rath Yatra proceeds. So when Lord Jagannath comes on the cart and everything's set, then devotees should be offering their own personal prayers, and then these prayers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced high, rearing like thunder and moving in a circle like a wheel. He appeared like a circling firebrand. So we also have nice dancing that goes on. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's dancing is described here. But as we were talking the other day, I wanted to read some of these wonderful prayers, and not really prayers, but the interaction that takes place between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Jagannath. So you see Lord Chaitanya's dancing over there in front of Jagannath's cart, and Lord Chaitanya says this prayer, this song, as I mentioned the other day. This starts Yakomarahara Saivahivara, and then, which the translation is, I mentioned this is a song, just a popular song that was known at the time. That very personality who stole away my heart during my youth is now again my master. These are the same moonlit nights in the month of Chaitra. The same fragrance of malati flowers is there, and the same sweet breezes are blowing from the Kamanda forest. In our intimate relationship, I'm the same lover, yet still my mind is not happy here. I'm eager to go back to that place on the back of the Reva, under the Vetasi tree. That is my desire. So it's very interesting. Yesterday also, I found it's like kirtan. If one has to get too much absorbed in organizing kirtan, coordinating musicians, keeping devotees in line, it becomes impossible to actually be absorbed in what's going on, Rath Yatra. So one thing is putting on the event and keeping the event flowing, and the other thing is thinking about, well, what is actually happening here? What is actually going on in this exchange between, there's Gornitai deities, what's going on between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Jagannath, what are devotees' meditations, and that's why organization is very helpful. If everything is very well sort of coordinated and organized, then devotees can get more into the spirit of Rath Yatra. And of course that's always a challenge with festivals, that there's the spirit of the festival itself and the spirit of the Rath Yatra. One is for non-devotees so that they become benefited by all of these things, hearing the holy name, seeing the cart, seeing Jagannath, touching the robe. And then there's the other, is to be able to actually enter a little further into that mood. But it's not possible to do one when the other one is sort of not really super well organized. You can't have your attention to both things. So what the organization was going on, that's questionable. It's even questionable whether in India things are ever organized. Or it may just be that Lord Chaitanya's Lila Shakti was organizing everything. We can't depend on that, although to a certain degree that's also going on. So things are going on by Jagannath's grace. But at the same time, devotees also want to be able to, aside from putting on an event for people, to also enhance their own Krishna consciousness by sharing the meditations that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Jagannath themselves exchanged. So this is sort of what it's like. He says this verse was recited by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again and again, but for Swarup Damodar no one could understand the meaning. I have already explained this verse. Now I shall simply describe it in brief. Formerly, all the gopis of Vrindavan were very pleased when they met with Krishna in the holy place Kurukshetra. Similarly, after seeing Lord Jagannath, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu awoke with the ecstasy of the gopis. Being absorbed in this ecstasy, he asked Swarup Damodar to sing the refrain. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke thus to Lord Jagannath. You are the same Krishna, and I'm the same Radharani. Now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is completely absorbed in the mood of Srimati Radharani. We're meeting again in the same way that we met in the beginning of our lives. In other words, here again, there's a meeting. Although we are both the same, my mind is still attracted to Vrindavan Dham, and I wish that you please again appear with your lotus feet in Vrindavan. Now, that as far as I've understood, I have never read anything about anyone actually bringing Krishna to Vrindavan. In other words, that there's a procession of the Rath Yatra cart and Krishna is coming to Vrindavan. That is not a physical event that takes place. This is all something that takes place actually within the devotee's desires and the devotee's meditation. So Krishna was there at the Kurukshetra, and even although, of course, it wasn't that he was just on a chariot. He came there on a chariot, but aside from that, they were moving around and going from place to place. So here's Krishna meeting the residents of Vrindavan and the gopis. And for them, Krishna being on the chariot, Balaram, and when Krishna met with the gopis, Balaram was not there, but to speak of Subhadra. So, but still for them, this was a figurative thing, that you are on here in this opulent feature, chariot with so many horses and elephants, but we want to bring you back to Vrindavan. So this whole effort of bringing Krishna back to Vrindavan is a heartfelt desire, and it's that expression of that heartfelt desire that the Rath Yatra festival expresses, which is very interesting, that here you have this very grand event that commemorates a meditation, not an actual event that took place. They didn't bring him back. Historically, they went back, and sometime later, Krishna came on his own to Vrindavan. Whether Krishna actually came on his own, or Krishna came because the Vrijvasis were so much absorbed in meditating on him that they brought him from Dwarka to Vrindavan, that was another thing. But then he wasn't in Kurukshetra, then he came from Dwarka. So these are things for devotees to contemplate.